The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. And what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Here ends our text. The Christian observing Advent lives in two holidays: the year-end festival of goodwill among men, called the Christmas season, going on outside these doors, and the season of repentance, going on in here in preparation for the advent of Christ. Let's find out more about Advent by asking three questions. Advent means coming. Is Jesus the one who is to come, or should we expect another? You can see why John would ask that. The coming one was an Old Testament title for the Messiah, the Christ. John had preached that this was Jesus. The coming one was here, and the axe was laid against the root of every impenitent tree. He particularly preached against King Herod for marrying his brother's wife. John lived an austere life in the wilderness, dressed in rough, simple clothing, eating little, and not drinking wine. Now John languishes in jail, put there by Herod for preaching against his adulterous marriage. Jesus, though, is on the outside. He's eating and drinking, and he's doing that with sinners. He is calling people to repentance, sure, but he's wielding no axe, he's cutting down no trees, and we don't ever hear Jesus preach against the sin of Herod. What gives? Is Jesus the coming one, the Messiah, as John had preached, or should they be waiting for another? Can you see how the Christian today could ask that same question? We preach that God will not be mocked, yet he is. We preach Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, but the living go on in their sins and unpunished, and the unbelievers often die very peacefully. We preach that Jesus rules the world with truth and grace. But maybe we got this all wrong. Islam seems more of a force in the world today than Christianity. The United Nations appears to do more for peace. And the Peace Corps, well, they seem to make more of a difference than Christ. Are we wrong to sit here waiting for a God who doesn't show himself the way the world wants him to? Or the way we want him to? What's the answer to, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? The answer is the same today as it was then. What they heard and what they saw. That's what Jesus sends back to John, rotting in a prison cell. Tell him what you hear and see. They saw Jesus fulfilling Old Testament prophecies by healing the blind, the lame, the leper, and the deaf. They saw Jesus raising the dead. And they heard Jesus preaching the gospel of forgiveness to those who have nothing to buy it with. Well, what do you see today? How many blind, lame, lepers, or deaf have you seen healed? How about dead men raised? Not a one. John was tripping over Jesus because he didn't bring the judgment John thought he should when he thought he should do it. And we trip because Jesus doesn't do physical miracles when and where we want him to do it. What we have in common is that both John and we hear Jesus preach the gospel. But we have more than John did. We have 2,000 years of church history, 2,000 years of millions of people taking what Scripture records as history. People really saw Jesus heal a man full of leprosy. People really saw Jesus give sight to a man born blind. People really saw a lame man walking and leaping and praising God. People really saw Lazarus come forth from a grave. However, don't think even they saw Jesus doing miracles left and right. He did relatively few miracles. The ones he did were signs. Signs are not ends in themselves. They point you to something else. The miracles pointed to a new heaven and a new earth, a place not of eating and of drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Romans 14. Question two is, what did you go out to the desert to see? That's what Jesus asked the people after the disciples of John had left. They hadn't gone out into the desert to see a shaking reed. They went out to see John, who stood firm, against Herod. They went out to see John, who stood firm against sinners who claimed they could keep their sins and still be baptized. They went out again to see John, who stood against a world of unbelief. They hadn't gone into the desert to see a pampered man, but one who's dyed and dressed, preached these. There was something more important than soft clothes, something more important than fancy food, drink, and creature comforts. Well, what did you come into this desert to see? There's no brightly decorated trees here, only that drab tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which became a tree of death. There's no jaunty, mood-lifting Christmas music. The only food here is bread and wine. The only water here is not even enough to give everyone a drink. Why have you come to this place that doesn't speak the world's language at any time of the year, but particularly at this time of year? Why have you come to this place that doesn't value the holiday spirit that is considered so necessary for life out there? There's better food, better drink, better clothes, and better entertainment out there, and more of just about everything you want outside this desert place. Well, so what have you come here to see? They went in droves by the thousands and thousands into the wilderness to see a prophet, but more than a prophet. He was the only prophet the Lord prophesied would come, the one God himself called his angel to go before, his Christ and Savior. That's what they went out to the desert to see. And you? People come to this desert by mere dozens. And they find not a foreteller, but a forth-teller, not a prophet, but a preacher. But I too am sent by God. I preach, teach, forgive, baptize, and commune as a called and ordained servant of the word by the command and in the place of my Lord Jesus. I cannot heal your body, but I can heal your soul. I can't make you rich in this life, but I can make you filthy rich with life. I can't make you a success in this world, but I can make you flourish in the world without end. I can't heal you of cancer, but I can heal you of sin. I can't heal you of dying today, but I can heal you of dying forever. I am not the coming one, but I come to point you to him. And that is the one who has drawn you into this desert place, who has called you away from the holiday to this sacred space. You can't help but be drawn. You're drawn to look at the gruesome crucified Christ, because his pain speaks to your pain. His suffering speaks to your suffering. His sorrow speaks to your sorrow. His death speaks to your life. One more question. I hope it brings the other two into focus. This one isn't in the text, but brought forth by the text. Who is the least in the kingdom of heaven? I don't care if you're racked with disease, pain, or problems. The least in the kingdom of heaven isn't you. It isn't me either. It certainly wasn't John. John identified Jesus as the greatest among those born of women. The least in the kingdom of heaven is the one who said he had no place to lay his head in this fallen world. The least in the kingdom of heaven is the one who said birds and foxes were better off than he was in this benighted life. The least in the kingdom of heaven has got to be the one who the God of heaven forsook in his hour of need. The least in the kingdom of heaven has got to be the one who, in his own words, was a worm and no man. The least in the kingdom of heaven has got to be the one who has to do everything. God the Son, King of heaven, was sent by his Father into our flesh and blood to do everything. Everything we don't, won't, can't do. Think of the wrongs you did just last week. You probably come up with a half dozen deeds, and maybe 1,000 words. But your sinful thoughts, well, that goes to infinity and beyond. Well, in order for you or any other sinner to go to heaven, all that you failed to do, didn't want to do, couldn't do, had to be done. Well, who do you think does everything in a military unit? Do you think the general does? Do you think the colonel does? Do you think the captain does? Do you think the master sergeant does? No, the least in the unit does everything. Not even the PFC, but the private. God the Son wasn't the least in heaven. He was equal to Father in the Spirit, but he took the role of the least in order to take our place. He humbled himself. Why? Well, even perfect Adam and Eve couldn't do it all. Even in paradise, they couldn't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Even in Eden, they couldn't refrain from using the name of God carelessly. Even in heaven on earth, they couldn't gladly hear God's word and obey it. It took a man who is God to do all that. An angel could not have done it in the place of man. Another ordinary man would have just failed all over again. Nope, it took God himself to do everything required for sinners to go to heaven. Who is the least in the kingdom of heaven? It's got to be the one who is blamed for everything and was made to pay for everything. That wasn't you, that wasn't me, that wasn't John. That was Jesus. Paul tells us God made him to be sin. God made Jesus to be your sin of unbelief, greed, gossip, lust, and despair. When God saw his only Son so completely covered with the sins that disgusted him, all his wrath was poured out at a point in time on a cross stuck in a hill outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus, with his last drop of blood, sweat, and tears, put out the flames of God's wrath. And God smiled again on a fallen world. That's why you've come to this desert place. You know Jesus came the first time because you have written proof passed on for thousands of years. You know when he came the first time it was to rescue sinners from sin and death. You know that when he comes again, it's going to be too late for those refusing rescue. And you know he comes to this desert place today to rescue people before it's too late. His perfect life flows in the baptismal waters here. His word that sends your sins away from you as far as the east is from the west is proclaimed here. The body and blood he sacrificed to pay for sins 2,000 years ago is distributed here for sinners to eat, to drink, and live. There are two holidays going on. Celebrate both, that's fine. But you can only live in one. Question is, which one will it be? Well, the one that gives life. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.